Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
February 27th, we are in Yoel, in Treasure Yoel, Perry Gimel. V'ayah acharei chen, it will be afterwards. This is referring to La'as of Lavo in the future. After Mashiach comes, at some point in the future. And it will be afterwards. Eshboch es ruchi al kol basar, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, Hashem says, meaning I will put my shechin on everybody. V'nib'u b'neichem uv'noseichem, and your sons and daughters will have nevuah. Ziknechem chalamos yachalomun, your elders will dream dreams, which is a form of nevuah. Bachurechem chezionos yiru, and your young men will see visions. They will have various forms of nevuah. V'gam al ha'avadim v'al ha'shvachos, and also on the slaves and on the maids. Bayami mahema, in those days, eshpoch esruchi, I will pour my spirit. So there's going to be an abundance of access to Hashem's Shechina. V'nasati movsim b'ashamayim uva'aretz. This is a famous pasuk, which, as you'll see in a moment, you're all familiar with. I'll place movsim's wonders on the heavens and the earth. Dam va'esh v'simros ashan. Actually, open up this bottle and just pour a little.
Yes, sounds like
blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And this pasuk is quoted in the Haggadah, when the Baal Haggadah, the author of the Haggadah, is using this pasuk to prove that the word mofsim refers to the makos. So it refers to blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. Hashemesh yehafe, now this is talking about the punishments that will come against those who do not, who are Rishon, who don't keep the Torah. Hashemesh yehafech lechoshech, the sun will turn to darkness. Vayareach ledam, and the moon will turn to blood. This is for those who worship the sun and the moon. The sun and moon will be clattered over. Will not look good. Lifnei bo yom Hashem agolo v'anor, before the great day of Hashem comes, which is big and awesome. Vayal kol asher yikram b'shem Hashem yimolet, and it will be all those who call in the name of Hashem will escape. Kibahar, meaning they will not be involved in these punishments. Kibahar Tzion u'Yushalayim tiyaf leitav, because on Har Tzion and Yushalayim there will be escape. Kasher Amar Hashem, like Hashem said, u'vasiridim asher Hashem korei, and in the siridim means those who are who remain, those who get away, that Hashem calls. So we'll probably go further this evening into Perek Dalet, but before we do that, let's talk about this parak. So, first of all, the pasuk says in the first pasuk, parak Aleph, I will pour my ruach al kol basar, on all flesh. And then it proceeds to list your sons, your daughters, your elders, your young men, even on the slaves and the maids, there will be nevuah. Now we know already from Kriyas Yam Suf, at the end of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the splitting of the sea, Ra'asa Shivcha Al Hayam Ma'ashalo Ra'asa Neviim, that the Shivcha Al Hayam, the maid on the sea, saw greater nevuah than even Yechezkel. Even Yechezkel, who saw Ma'asa Merkava, that he saw the chariot of Hashem, which is, as far as we're concerned, the most profound of the nevuahs that one could see, short of Moshe Rabbeinu, of course. Then, even a lowly maid on the sea saw more than Yechezkel, and which means what the access that we had to nevuah at Kriyas Yam Suf was greater than what Yechezkel saw. Here it's saying that La'asad Lavo, in the future, that will happen again. Meaning the same type of nevuah that Klal Yisrael were zochet to Al Hayam, that is what's going to happen in the future. Then even, that's what it means, even the slaves and the maids. It means even those who really are of the lowest in their ability to have that access to Hashem, but they will too. They will also have that access to Hashem, even they. And that was, so it will exceed that which the Nevi'im sought. Can't exceed Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu his Nevuah cannot be paralleled. But up until that, they will be able to see. It will be a greater Nevuah for everybody.
Can I ask about that? So why would you think the Eved or Shifcha would have less connection?
Because the Eved Kanani and Shifcha Kananis.
Oh, it's Kanani.
Not Eved Ivri. No. Right. So even they will be able to see. Now, and then it goes on to tell us that as punishments for those who we'll see later that they really, because they didn't behave properly, so then I will put Movsim Bashamayim Uvaretz. So here we have a reference to the Makos. So we have a reference to Kriyas Yamsuf, sort of, because it mentions about the Shifcha having Nevuah. And now we have a reference to the Makos. The Medrash tells us that the punishments that will come upon Edom, so we are in Golos Edom, the punishments that will come upon Edom, La'asid Lavo, will be like the Makos in Mitzrayim. And the Medrash goes on to bring Psukim, that there'll be Dam, it says over here Dam, there'll be Tzvardeya, there'll be Kinim, there'll be Arov, all of the Makos that fell upon Mitzrayim will fall upon Edom, La'asid Lavo. So this quote over here in the Haggadah, to show that the Makos, the word Mofsim refers to Makos, it actually is a closer connection than that, because it is a reference to the same Makos happening to Edom as happened to Mitzrayim. The Vilna Gaon writes in this, well, I'm sorry, he doesn't really write this, it's his Talmud that writes it, but in the Siddur HaGra, on the, I've told you this before, that on the Bracha in Av Al HaTzadikim, and it says, Baruch Ata Hashem Mish'on Umivtach LaTzadikim, that Hashem is a Mish'on and a Mivtach. A Mish'on is that which you can lean on. A Mivtach is that which you can rely on for the Tzaddikim. So the Vilna Gaon discusses what's the double language, the Mish'on and Mivtach, that which you can lean on, that which you can rely on. So the Vilna Gaon says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Tzaddikim, gives Tzaddikim something to rely on to show them that they are headed in the right direction. That if things are not going well and the tzaddikim daven or fast or whatever it is they do in order to turn things around, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a sign that things are about to get better, that they just need to keep doing what they're doing and that things will improve. So the Vilna Gaon says that's what happened at the Purim story, which is why you have the episode of Haman parading Mordechai through the streets of Shushan, which if you would eliminate that, even though it is a very enjoyable piece of the Megillah, but it doesn't really add to the story. And if you cut that part out of the Megillah, the storyline would still run smoothly. It's not needed for the story. It doesn't seem to be integral to the storyline. Mm-hmm. So the Vilna Gaon says, because that's the Mivtach to the Tzaddikim. That's showing Mordechai. Mordechai was fasting along with everybody else for 3 days. So Hashem was giving Mordechai something to rely on, Simon, that don't worry, that just go a little bit further and you will bring the Geula. And that's why it says, Vayashav Mordechai al Shar HaMelech, afterwards he went back to the gates of the king. The Medrash says, he was Vayashav Mordechai al Sako v'Ta'aniso. He went back to his sackcloth and back to his fasting. Even though he had just been paraded through the streets in finery, and he had a haircut, and he'd been bathed, everything was wonderful, but he went right back to his sackcloth and his fasting, because he didn't take it as a simon that he should stop what he was doing. He took it as a simon he should keep doing what he was doing in order to bring about the geula. That's the Mishan Mivtach. So the Gros says it's the same thing with the Makos. The Makos in Mitzrayim, you don't really need the Makos. The Pasuk says in Parashas Bo, the why Hashem says, why did I bring all these Makos? Because in order Laman to saper be'aznei vincha ben mincha, you can tell your children, Esa Hashem, Yisalalti b'Mitzrayim, that I toyed with the Egyptians. and I made these things against them. Really, we only needed Makas Becharis to get out of Mitzrayim. But the first nine Makos were to show the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what he did to the Mitzrayim. So that was there as well. And that's the Mishnah Miftach LaTzadikim, to show Klal Yisrael, the Geula is about to come, and you have all these Makos. So the Vilna Gaon says, V'chein La'asid La'avo. Also, before the ultimate Geula comes, there will be Simanim that will be shown to the tzaddikim, that to show them that you just have to do a little bit more to bring the geula, just like in Mitzrayim. So here, the pasuk is saying, actually, the Medrash says the makos themselves, the same makos will come upon Edom as it did in Mitzrayim. Yeah.
So there's a big wave of locusts coming to hit Mitzrayim.
There, yeah. Now, yeah, okay, yeah. All right. I don't like to do that. You can, right?
Rabbi, I'm confused because we had all these people having the nevuah first, and then you're bringing in that there'll be signs. So if everybody has nevuah, isn't that better than signs that'll come?
No, you're right. The signs would have to come before that. That's true.
So why is it?
Yeah, no, it's the same with the punishments. I'm just pointing out that the makos in Mitzrayim were the signs for the ultimate geula. That's a good point. But the Medrash says more than that. Let's do Pasuk Hey first before we go back to the Medrash about what I want to tell you. But the Pasuk says in Hey, all who call the name of Hashem will be spared. So the Gemara Yerushalmi in Brachos says that we are not like, Hashem is not like a flesh and blood protector. Someone who you rely on for protection, we rely on the police, for example. But so you have someone who you rely on for protection from flesh and blood. So first of all, you don't have access to that person all the time. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Second of all, the person is not always going to come to your aid. Sometimes you'll complain too many times and they'll say, I've had enough already. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. The Medrash says, we don't complain or we don't call out to Michael and to Gabriel and to the Malachim. We call out directly to Shem Hashem. V'ayakol Hashem Yikra b'Shem Hashem. Anyone who calls out in the name of Hashem, Yimaleit will be spared. And Hashem is the one to whom we call, directly to Hashem, no intermediaries. And Hashem is always available. Hashem is never tired of our nudging Him. And it's a fascinating thing when you think about it. We know that people nudge us, and we don't like being nudged. And at a certain point, we get fed up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only does not get fed up, He actually asks us to nudge Him. It's an amazing thing. Hashem says, nudge me. Do it. The more the merrier. Better. Just do it. 3 times a day. You want to do it 10 times a day? Just keep doing it. Nudge me, nudge me, nudge me, nudge me. That's what Hashem says. It's an amazing thing. Imagine if someone you're trying to get their attention and you keep tapping them on the shoulder, eventually they're gonna tap you back, but not lightly, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, just keep on doing it. Just come after me. That's what he says. It's an amazing thing. So call Hashem Yikra B'Shem Hashem Yimaleit. But the Medrash here also says that you read this not just Yikra B'Shem Hashem, all who call out in the name of Hashem, but also Kol Asher Yikare B'Shem Hashem, all that are called by the name of Hashem. And the Medrash here mentions, this is one of the several places where this applies. The Medrash says, how is it possible to be called in the name of Hashem? We're not Hashem. How does that happen? So that is done by mimicking His midos. Mahu rachum afatatei rachum, mahu chanun afatatei chanun, that you should mimic Hashem just as He is merciful, and all the midos that Hashem does for us, we should do for other people. Again, we are only human beings, and therefore we can't have the infinite patience that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, but nevertheless, we should try our best to have the godly midos of Hashem, and in that way we are spared. Yimaleit, we are spared because we emulate and mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Medrash here says a fascinating thing, going back to Pasuk Aleph. The Medrash says that afterwards, it says, Eshbok Hasuchi al Kolbasar, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. So the Medrash says, what does it mean, all flesh? So human beings are mentioned. On all flesh, it says, your children, sons, daughters, elders, young men, slaves, maids, what's left? What's Kolbasar, all flesh? So the Medrash says, Afilu al behema v'chaya. Excuse me. Afilu al chaya va'of. Even on animals and birds. Now that is extremely difficult to understand. Even on animals and birds. What does that mean? Can't be that they get nevuah. What does that mean? Animals and birds get nevuah. Animals and birds do not have bechira. They don't have any free will. They are tools in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running of the world. And they do what they do. They live based on instinct. So what does it mean that there will be Hashem's ruach even on the animals and the birds? So it's important to understand that the physical world is here in order to facilitate our serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's here for. The Ramchal spells this out very clearly in Derech Hashem, but it's in other places as well, that the physical world is a place that Hashem put us in, and it's calibrated in order to promote our serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But our serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not necessarily mean that the physical world around us is going to help us do the right thing. We know the physical world around us is full of temptations and reasons to do the wrong thing. So it doesn't mean that, I really am not planning on going to Shacharis this morning, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send an elephant to chase me to Shacharis. Right, that may be helpful, but it's not going to happen, right? So the physical world around us doesn't make us do mitzvahs, but it is here to facilitate our serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the way that works is what Chazal say, that harotze l'taher misayin oso, that if a person wants to, is coming to be mitayer, someone's coming to do the right thing, then they help them out. From Shemayim, the physical world is used as a means to help the person do the right thing. But Abba Latame, someone who's coming in Chas V'Shalom to do the wrong thing, post-chelo, it's opened up, it's available to him, he can do all the wrong things, all the bad things. So the physical world is there, and it mimics our serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, so this is what the Ramchal explains in detail, that not only did they hurt themselves, but the entire world around them diminished. It brought the whole world down. Because the world was originally calibrated for people on the level of Adam and Chava to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But once Adam and Chava dropped themselves precipitously, the world had to follow suit, because then they would be, if not, they'd be living in a world that didn't suit them. They'd be living in a world that they didn't fit into. They'd be a square peg in the physical world. And that's not the way the universe is supposed to be. The universe is supposed to be a place that human beings fit into. We dictate what the universe is going to look like. If we are Oved Hashem properly, the entire universe is uplifted with us, because the universe has to be a place that we can function in. If we outpace the world around us, we become great people, and the world around us remains a tame place, well then, we're not suited for the world. The world's not suited for us, and therefore it's not available for our use, at least not properly, not easily. So the world is brought with us. We drag the world up. We also drag the world down, Chas V'Shalom, because the world has to be a place that we human beings can function in, and that it is a functional, usable place for us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why, as I mentioned, that after eating from the Eitz Hadas, the entire universe is diminished, not just Adam and Chava, but the entire universe is diminished, with the Mabul as well. The entire world is diminished. The Gemara tells us that the top three tefachim of soil was washed away with the Mabul. That is symbolic. The entire world, therefore, is diminished. Physically, it's diminished, because humankind was diminished with the way we were behaving before the Mabul. The Gemara tells us that before the Mabul, that even behema chaya va'of, even animals and birds, when he's kakin l'she'enon minon, that they were having relationships with species that were not their own, which is unnatural. An animal should be following its own instincts, and its own instincts should preclude an animal from getting involved with a different species. But because humankind was behaving in an abhorrent manner with relationships, so the animal world followed suit. It was dragged down with human beings. The physical world, therefore, is a reflection of the way human beings are behaving. The when it says after the Chet of Adam Arishon that Hashem says, "Bezeis apecha tocha lechem," you're going to have to eat now. You're going to eat bread by the sweat of your brow, and then it says, "Vekotz vidardar tatzmiach loch." You're going to plant, and you're going to get all kinds of weeds, and things are going to grow that are not edible. That is part of it's true. It's a punishment to Adam. It's going to be hard for you to find your parnasa, where before parnasa was effortless. Now it's going to be difficult. But it's also a reflection of your behavior. Your behavior is one that you're not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. Therefore, the world is going to be a more difficult place. It's not going to be an easy place, which reflects your own behavior. You have to take it with a grain of salt, scientific observation. Not because we don't believe in scientific observation, of course we do, but because scientific observation always assumes that the physical properties of the world remain the same. They always have been the same, they always will be the same. And therefore, whatever is observed today could have been observable in theory 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, and will be observable in theory 1,000 years from now, unless human beings do something physically to change it, like making a species extinct or something like that. But other than that, other than human beings' intervention in the world, everything is a constant. That the natural physical world is a constant. That is true to an extent. I'm not talking about Nisim, which is already a problem with scientific observation because they don't believe in Nisim. We know Nisim have happened, big ones, and those Nisim affect some of the observations that they're making, especially cosmology and things like that, where the observations are all conjecture anyway, but they're also observing things that have not been the same since the beginning of the world. We know the Gemara tells us, for example, with the Mabul, that Hashem rearranged things in Shamayim, in the stars, to create the Mabul and to end the Mabul. So whatever that means, we don't know, but the thing is that their observations are necessarily false. But aside from that, I'm not even getting into that, just dealing with pure physical observations here and now, not in history and not in outer space, where history and outer space is all conjecture, but everything which is here and now, which is much more physics and mathematics, things that are much more real. But the thing is that the physical properties they're observing are a reflection of the way humankind is behaving today, and those things that they're observing are not necessarily constants. I'm not talking about laws of nature. I'm talking more about behaviors in nature. So if they observe animals where you have same gender animals interacting with each other, that does not mean that that's been going on since the creation of the world. That can very well be a very modern, recent development as a reflection of the way humans interact. Because humankind is behaving in that manner, so the animals reflect that. Just as before the Mabul, the animals interacted with other species, which was completely unnatural and was not going on prior to that time and did not happen after that time. At least not at that, maybe it's happening now, but it didn't happen then. So one has to be careful when reading studies and things like that they do today, because they are presuming that everything that they're seeing is just the same. It's always been and always will be, and that is not necessarily the case. Therefore, when it says here that Hashem will pour His Spirit upon all flesh, so for human beings, as it goes on to explain, your sons and daughters will have nevuah, your elders will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and even on the slaves and the maids, I will pour my spirit. But pouring spirit doesn't have to mean nevuah. So it seems to me that when the Medrash says that the animals and the birds will also, there'll be the spirit of Hashem upon them, it says, as it says, kol basar, it's not referring to nevuah, but it is referring to the animals and the birds reflecting an elevated way of behavior. The entire world will be brought back to the status of Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChet, of Adam HaRishon before the sin, where the entire physical universe reflected a humankind that was on a different plane of existence. And it has to, as I said before, it has to fit in and It has to be a place where human beings can function. And if human beings are getting the Ruach of Hashem poured upon them, then the physical world around us has to be a place where we can function. And therefore the entire world has to be brought up with us to be able to be a place where human beings can be. So it seems to me that that is what is being mentioned over here, that about this this Spirit of Hashem poured upon the animals and birds as well.
Couldn't it also, I mean, in conjunction with that, be that their instinct, like the lions, aren't going to attack the
sheep,
because it could be that people are elevated, but also Hashem, if he's pouring out part of him on them, they wouldn't want to kill each other anymore.
Right, that's true, but it's a result of human beings being elevated. And that's the way it works, that the world has to reflect us.
But perhaps if Mashiach comes the other way, not because we deserve it.
But eventually that is going to happen anyway. The world is going to have to turn and
know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to come first, is what you're saying. We still have to come first.
Yeah, now the pasuk you're bringing from Yeshaya, that's true, that it says over there that they're not going to fight with each other anymore, which means that the lion is going to leave its nature, right? So that's somehow going to be because of the entire physical world being elevated, right?
I think what you were saying before about that the Mishani Muftach, like you have indication that you're doing the right thing, so it's logical that indication would happen because it's a result. If you're doing the right thing, then the nature and everything around
will show it.
Do it, and then you see the reflection, and then you have indication you're going the right way.
Right, that does make sense. But that point of Mishnah Mivtach seems to be that Mina Shamayim, like with the Makos, that there'll be things that will happen to our enemies that will show that we're about to get saved.
But this thing that you're talking about, where the reflection is also Minas Shamayim.
Yeah. But it's in a different way. The reflection is that the whole world is elevated. The Makos isn't an elevating of the world. It's a punishment to the... It isn't... Well, you're right. That's the next step to get to. We'll talk about that point.
Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim HaLam Shakom. Rabbi, is this also tied to why if somebody's a total tzaddik that animals won't attack them if they're...
I imagine that's the case. If a person's a real tzaddik gamor, then nothing can happen to them that is not directly imposed upon them by Hashem. Meaning that normally when we make decisions, we affect each other. Every decision I make affects you, every decision you make affects me. We affect each other with our decisions. But if someone's really a tzaddik gamor, people's ability to affect that person is very limited. And only it comes directly from Hashem. So the animals as well, unless he goes to a dangerous place. But he doesn't go to a dangerous place, so then there shouldn't be a way for anything to hurt him unless Hashem decrees it directly. That, you know, like lightning bolt or something like that. Something more. Okay. Now, this reference to the Makos we brought up about Kriyas Yamsuf. So, I want to take a moment. We've done this before as well, but I want to take a moment to describe what exactly it means that the Shifcha al Hayam saw more than Yechezkel saw. What does that mean that she saw more than Yechezkel saw? Which means all of Klal Yisrael saw more than Yechezkel saw. Well, Yechezkel saw the Ma'aseh Merkava. There's nothing greater than Ma'aseh. What could it be? What did they see? And with all that, it's not the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what didn't they see? This is a complete aside. I just have to mention it. That because we mentioned Dam Va'esh V'Simros Ashan, so the minhag is at the Haggadah to begin taking wine out of the cup with these three words, Dam, Esh, and Timros Ashan. That's three, and then we do the 10 Makos, so that's 13, and then we do the Tzach Hadash B'Achav, total of 16. That's the way it does at my table Everybody likes to like write around their plate and have 16 little dots. I'm like, okay, fine. So there are different minhagim how to do it. Some people do it with a spoon. Some people do it with a finger. Some people, whatever. There's different minhagim. It is popular to say that. Why do we do that? It's popular to say because binfalo yivchal tismach, that one should not be happy with the downfall of their enemies. So we take a little wine out of the cup because the makos were painful to the Egyptians, and it's kind of like, you know, we don't want to be happy with their downfall. It's not easy to say that pshat. Meaning, you can say it. There's reason to say that pshat. It's not wrong, but it is not without problems. Because the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that binfalo yivchal tismach is only when it's a fellow Jew who's in pain, not a non-Jew. And here it's about the Egyptians who were not Jewish. So it's a little difficult to apply that rule of binfalo yivchal tismach. That's number one. Number two is that, as we said already, the makos functioned much more than just a punishment. The makos, you were supposed to tell them over to our children, and we're supposed to discuss them and mention every detail about them, that how Hashem, what He did to the Mitzrim. It's a good thing. So it's a little difficult. Again, one could say it. The simple explanation, which nobody seems to say, but the simple explanation is that in Navi you find a cup of wine is in throughout Nevi'im. You find that a cup of wine is either a kos yeshuos, a cup of salvation, or a kos hatar'ela, a cup of bitterness. Sometimes drinking the wine is a sign of destruction. Sometimes it's a sign of salvation. Sometimes it's a sign of destruction. Depending on where you are in Navi, you will find both types of imagery, that a cup of wine. The simple explanation of what's going on at the Haggadah is that you are taking your etzba, which is this finger, not this one. It's this finger is the etzba. You are mimicking the etzba Elohim, and you are taking from the cup of bitterness, of destruction, and you are striking the Egyptians, Dam, Tzfardeya, Kinim, Arv, you are actually mimicking the punishment, not taking out of the cup in order to reduce the punishment. You're actually replicating Hashem, punishing, as you mentioned, each of the makos. That's the simple explanation, without any depth to it. That's the simple explanation of what's happening over there in the Haggadah. Now, what happened al Hayam? What does that mean, that the Shifcha saw more than the Nevi'im? So the way that the, and again, since we've spoken about this before, I apologize if those who have heard it before. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, the way he runs the world is Mida Keneged Mida. That's the way he runs the world. Measure for measure. That's the way he does it. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo. He is perfect. And therefore, everything is calibrated and everything is perfect. The only problem is, most of the time, we don't see how perfect it is. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calibration. Everything that goes on in our lives, everything that goes on in the people around us, we don't see it. We say in Avinu Malkeinu, Nikom le'einenu nikmastam avadecha shafuch. Take revenge to our eyes, in front of us. Show us about how you avenge the blood of your servants who were killed. But that's a zchus. It's rare that we see Hashem punish those who deserve to be punished, and reward those who deserve to be rewarded. We don't see it that way, and you have to look carefully often to see mida keneged mida. Sometimes a person is zocha to see something great. You have to have a zchus. You have to have a zchus to see destruction, as we know from Lot. When Lot was saved from Sodom, he wasn't allowed to look. He wasn't allowed. Why? Because he really wasn't on the schus to be saved. He really shouldn't have been saved. He was only saved because of Avram Avinu. He wasn't allowed to see the destruction. Avram Avinu was allowed to see the destruction because Avram Avinu was his schus that Lot was saved. So he was allowed, but Lot couldn't look because he really didn't deserve it. You have to be on a certain level to deserve to see Hashem's Mida Keneged Mida. Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim were zeichet to see the punishments to the Mitzrayim. It's a huge schus to watch the Dam, the Tzfardeya, the Kinim, the Arv, to see it happen to the Mitzrayim was a huge schus. It actually scared us. Later on, Klal Yisrael was afraid that what happened to the Mitzrayim will happen to us if we don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kol ha-machala asher asanti Mitzrayim lo asim alecha. All the affliction I did to Mitzrayim, I won't put on you if you behave. Because Klal Yisrael was afraid of it. Look what happens to people who don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's a huge lesson. To see that Rishoyim get smacked is a huge lesson, and it's an incredible motivation to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you have to be zeicha for that. You don't just see it. It's something which a person has to have his chus to be able to see. In Mitzrayim we saw it. The Yam Suf were greater nisim than Mitzrayim. The Makos, as we say in the Haggadah, that the ratio of nisim that we saw, the Makos of the Yam Suf to the Makos in Mitzrayim, was 5-1. So the Makos were 10 in Mitzrayim, then there were 50 al Hayam. If in Mitzrayim it was 40, then it was 200 al Hayam. If in Mitzrayim it was 50, then it was 250 al Hayam. We say that in the Haggadah. That's like one of the most tedious parts of the Haggadah. Right? You read it, it's like all this math, and like it's kind of, you read it kind of fast because it seems to be a little repetitious over there. What is the Baal Haggadah doing over there? He's emphasizing to us that you have to understand that although the Torah's depiction of the Makos is much more in detail than what happened al Hayam to the Mitzrim. All we know that happened to the Yam, on the Yam to the Mitzrim, is that Hashem scared them. That their wheels fell off of their chariots and the chariots bumped, and that they were drowned. It doesn't tell us much more detail than that. But the Baal HaGadah is telling you, you have to understand that on the Yam Suf, they were actually smacked more. Not just, they weren't just drowned. They were beaten up on the Yam Suf before they were killed. Much more than in Mitzrayim. Five times more than what happened in Mitzrayim. And you read what happened in Mitzrayim, look at all that, look at all this, all the way they were beaten up in Mitzrayim. They were beaten up five times more al Hayam. So what's more to do? I mean, they were beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten. So what's more to do? So on the Yam, they were beaten, but they were beaten in a Midah Keneged Midah that announced HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the Yam, it says that we said Ze Keli Vanveu. Ze means they were Mara Be'etzba. They pointed and they said, Ze Keli, this is our God. What do you mean, this is our God? They're pointing at the water. The water is our God? Of course not. So we mean Ze Keli. They were able to see the Yad Hashem. They were able to see it. How do you see the Yad Hashem? Hashem didn't appear because they saw the Midah Keneged Midah. What that means is the following. That means, as I've given this example before, if a Jew had been whipped by a Mitzri, and he has a laceration across his cheek, because that's where the whip hit him, on the Yam Suf, the Jew, that same Jew, would be standing on dry land, looking at the ocean. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give him the vision to be able to see this. He would see and recognize that Mitzri. He would notice that it's the same Mitzri that whipped him. And he would see that the sea would rise up and whip him in the face. And he'd get a laceration right across the face in the exact same spot that he gave it to the Jew. Mida keneged mida. Exactly what they dished out, they got back. That's what happened al Hayam. And that's why it's Zekei Levi Veil. That's why they point. And they say, this is because they're seeing the Midah Keneged Midah. The Nisim were a complete and total Midah Keneged Midah. The calibration was perfect. And you saw it with your own eyes. So that's what the Shifcha is seeing more than the VMC. The Shifcha, even the Shifcha, is seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation. The revelation Al Hayam is the greatest revelation in the history of the world, with the exception of Matan Torah. Matan Torah is the greatest revelation ever. But with the exception of Matan Torah, which is a whole different experience, the Al Hayam, because at Matan Torah, we all got Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu for the first two Dibros. We actually heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we saw Bas Baklari Ami'ira. We saw with the unclouded glass, the clear glass, like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a whole different level. But with that exception, the Yam Suf is the greatest revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, short of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. So that is because they saw the Midah Keneged Midah. That's also what it means in the Haggadah, when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo al Yedei Malach, Ve'lo al Yedei Saraf. It was ani hu v'lo ha-shaliach. I did it myself. V'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim. I went through Mitzrayim myself for makas b'choros, not with an intermediary. What's the difference whether there's an intermediary or not? We've asked this question many times. Kadosh Baruch Hu has malachim. Malachim are just robots. They're just sophisticated robots that Hashem uses to do His bidding. So what's the difference whether He does it or the robot does it? It's all Hashem. The malachim aren't going to do what Hashem doesn't tell them to do. So He gives them instructions. They carry it out. So what's the difference? The difference is that a malach represents a separation between what's happening and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a distance. That distance means that it is not going to announce the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu the same way as if there were no intermediary. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu programs the malachim to do something, it is always with a measure of distance, which means it's not done perfectly midah keneged midah. There is some ambiguity. Now, I don't mean to say it's not midah keneged midah. Everything is midah keneged midah, but you don't see it. You don't see it. So when a malach does it, you do not see it as clearly as when a Kadosh Baruch Hu does it bechvodo uva'atzmo. Al hayom, a Kadosh Baruch Hu did it bechvodo uva'atzmo. And therefore, it was perfectly calibrated and you could see it. You saw al hayom what the Nevi'im didn't see. Because you saw the midah keneged midah. Zekeli v'anveu. Everybody was wide awake. They weren't having a dream. They weren't sleeping. It was a wide awake, standing on their feet, like a nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, standing on your feet. They were able to see it, and with their full faculties. So that is the nevuah that the Shifcha sees al hayam, which even exceeds what Yechezkel sees, because Yechezkel at the end is only seeing a vision. He's not seeing it happen. He's seeing a vision of Ma'aseh Merkava. Now Ma'aseh Merkava is real. It's not a fake thing, but Yechezkel is not there. He's here seeing the vision. The Alayam, we were standing there and watched it happen. And that is the greater level of Nevuah. La'asid Lavo, that's what we're going to get. We're not going to get to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. We can't. You can't have Nevuah on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu other than the first two Dibros. It's not possible for a human being other than Moshe Rabbeinu to have that Nevuah. That's one of the Yod Gimel Ikrim. You have to believe that. And the Rambam says the second greatest Navi to ever live will be Mashiach, second to Moshe Rabbeinu, but he can't be Moshe Rabbeinu. But we will have the Nevuah that the Shifcha had al Hayam. We will see perfectly calibrated punishments meted out to those who are our enemies, those who have attacked us, those who have hurt us, and we will see perfectly calibrated reward for all of those who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what's going to happen, La'asid Lavo, that Hashem's Ruach will be poured upon us and we will have that level of Hakara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize Hashem, to see Hashem in everything that is going on. That is the level that's going to happen in the future. The two Yamim Tovim coming up, Purim and Pesach, so we've mentioned Pesach several times in tonight's shiur. So those Yamim Tovim bring this out, because Pesach is where you have it in an Nes Nigla, where you have it in an open miracle. The Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, that's where you have that Hiskalas HaShchina. The truth is the Mun is also like that. That the Mun fell for the great tzaddikim right at the doorstep, further away. You know, you were able to see every morning, you woke up in the morning and you were able to see where you were vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yesterday the Mun fell on my doorstep. Today it fell 10 feet away. Oh, what did I do wrong yesterday? You saw it. It was something which was right in front of you. It was an unbelievable thing. Incredible thing. So the way that Klal Yisrael was living was one in which there was a much greater Hiskalas HaShchina. It changed after the Ma'aseh HaEgel, after the Meraglim. Things weren't as perfect after that. But from Mitzias Mitzrayim, especially Kriyas Yamsuf, then you saw that perfection. So there you see it with an Nes Nigla. In Golos, we don't have any Nisim Galuyim. We can't. There are no Nisim Galuyim in Galus, not until Mashiach comes, but we do have Nisim Nistarim. There are hidden Nisim which come without Nevuah. Nevuah is a function of Hiskalos HaShchina, and and in Galus as we are, we don't have that. So the Megillah, which is the last of the, it's the end of Nevuah, it's the end, and it's through Golas. The Megillas Esther is in Golas. So Hashem's name, as you know, is not mentioned, and there are no Nisim Geluyim. Yet, you still see the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though there's no, nature is not defined at all. Yet, looking at it, it doesn't take rocket science to see the Yad Hashem perfectly. The absolute perfection. Haman putting up the gallows for Mordechai, it being turned on his head and now it falls onto him. And the same thing with the parading through the city with the horse, that it was supposed to be Mordechai on, and now it's Haman and leading Mordechai and the daughter of the chamber. The whole thing is so perfectly calibrated that you say, there's obviously a Yad Hashem here. You can't. It's not the same as Al Hayam because there's no open miracle. But to a certain extent, on a diminished level, you look at the Megillah and you say Zeh Keli V'Aveihu. You see it. You see the Yad Hashem. It's impossible to miss. So the two Yomim Tovim of Purim and Pesach, and Purim of course heralds Pesach. That's why we have Purim in Adar Beis instead of Adar Aleph. Because to be masmech geula legeula, to have the redemption of Purim next to the redemption of Pesach, mishenichnas adar marbim besimcha really means the Rishonim say over there that mishenichnas adar marbim besimcha. What that means is that it really should have been mishenichnas Nisan marbim besimcha because that's the month of geula, but because of Purim we bump it back a month. And Shminichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, but it continues through to Pesach. It doesn't end with Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It then only gets more Rosh Chodesh Nisan through Pesach. That's the Simcha. So these two Yomim Tovim are bringing out this perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you only see at certain times. And La'asid Lavo, that is what we're going to see. We're going to see this incredible perfection of Mida Keneged Mida to the point where you say, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning he's obviously here. You can't miss him. It's impossible to miss him. You see it b'chush. You see it with your senses. It's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. So that is what we are looking at. We're hoping to happen, obviously, Mehrev Yomenu. The Nevu of Moshe Rabbeinu Bas Baklaria HaMe'ira that he sees through the clear glass, that's already a different level that goes beyond being aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. That has to do with a certain comprehension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can't have, that only Moshe Rabbeinu has. Moshe Rabbeinu, last week's parasha, asked, Hareini Nas Kvodecha, show me your kavod. I want to understand you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as best as a human being can possibly understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's impossible by definition for a created being to understand his creator. That's impossible by definition. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand the most possible. Hashem said to him, you cannot see my face. That's not possible. Even you. But you'll be able to see Achorai, my back, whatever that means. But that's only Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to see that. Everybody else is limited and cannot have that perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can't have. But that he exists, that's the Nevuah that even the Shivcha saw greater than the Nevi'im. And that's the level that we'll see as well.
So are we supposed to now in Galus look for Mida Keneged Mida like you're describing?
So it's not a bad thing to do. It's obviously, a person sees something. The problem is that we do not have Nevi'im. And when you don't have a Navi, then we don't know. Anything we say is only a guess. We don't really know. Now, we do have Talmidei Chachamim. And Talmidei Chachamim, I'm talking about the great Talmidei Chachamim of the generation. So because they have so much Torah, so their thinking has been molded by the Torah, and therefore they are thinking in a Hashem way. So when they see something, their perception and interpretation of what's happening is naturally more accurate than ours. So that's what Das Torah is, and that's what the advantage of that is. But it's still not a Navi. It's not a Navi. So it's people often take liberties, they stretch things, and they say, look, this means this, this means this, this means this. And it's really not a positive exercise because they're guessing. They're really guessing. And to base one's Yiddishkeit on a guess like that is not a healthy thing. That being said, That being said, a person does have a responsibility on their own life and their own behavior. And if I know that I did something, whatever it was, and it wasn't, I didn't think it was the right way to behave, and then, chas v'shalom, something happens, I have the right to say that it might be because of this. Might. I can't say it was definitely because of this, but I have the right to say, you know what, if this happened to me, it means I need improvement. I know I didn't behave that way properly here. Well, that's what I'm going
to
work on.
It's not negative to do that.
It's not negative to do that. As long as a person has the humility to say, might be the reason. Look, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings some sort of a tzara to somebody, the Rambam says, you have to react. Now, a tzara doesn't necessarily mean it's a punishment. It doesn't have to be a punishment, but we don't know. So it might be. So a person is mechuyev to react. Well, if I'm supposed to react, it means I'm supposed to improve. In what? I don't have a nabi to tell me what I'm supposed to improve in. So I have to use my best guess, or I have to seek etzah for a best guess for how to improve. So that's a healthy thing to do, as long as a person is able to say, I'm not sure this is what it is, but this is what I'm going to work on, because I know this needs work, and I know that I need to work, that I was given something which is a tzara, so I have to work. In the positive as well, we don't know why good things happen. We don't know if it's because of this, that, or the other thing. But we do have the right to make a connection if the connection is very, very obvious. We have the right to say that if it's a method of encouraging ourselves to do better. So if I know that I did such a thing, and look, this happened, and it seems so, so the Gemara says you're allowed to do it with tzedakah. That the Gemara says. You're allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person gives tzedakah and they turn around and all of a sudden a deal was closed that they weren't expecting to close, and all of a sudden they got a windfall of money, a person has the right to say, hey, look at that, right? A person has the right to do that. Now, we still don't know for sure, but a person has the right to say, hey, that makes a lot of sense. And if that will encourage me to give more tzedakah, that's good. That's not foolish. But again, we have to have the humility to say we're not Nevi'im, we don't know for sure. And it makes me uncomfortable when you hear people go into every detail about something and start picking it apart as if we were great Nevi'im, we could take every single detail of the story and say this is because of this, this is because of this, this is it. It's not a healthy thing to do. It's not a piruach haTorah to do that without a Nevi.
What was the Medic Negan Meter with Zeresh?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm sure they speak about it. You want to know with Zeresh that
you said that everything was Medic Negan. I mean, she was definitely a part of it.
Yeah. We're supposed. You have to say Aruva Zeresh.
I never know what happened to her.
Yeah. I don't know.
She lost her husband.
She did. And her kids.
Yeah. So what's the question?
And her home.
But actually, she said do this, and so then she lost her husband.
But she also recognized that Haman was going to be brought down by Mordecai.
Well, yeah, but that was after the fact. After she said, the wife says, I'm right.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.